What's up, everybody? This is your girl, author Monique Duell, and welcome to another episode of Having a Moment with Moni here on the Heart Radio Network, streaming from Benin, Nigeria. Hey, guys, I pray that everyone who hears this is doing well and that your week has been good and productive and that you accomplished something that you did not accomplish yesterday, the day before that, the week before that, so forth and so on. I am so grateful for everyone who continues to listen to me weekly, who shows their love and support. I definitely appreciate all the love, all the support, all the prayers. I would not be here without you. So, I don't really have anything on my mind, you guys. I realized that, first of all, happy March. It is the only month of the 12 months that tells you to do something. So I pray that you are marching into the will of God for your life. I pray that you are marching into the throne of grace to find help and hope in the time of trouble. I hope that you are marching into your prayer closet to pray and intercede for yourself and your bloodline and those that you hold dear to you. I hope that you are marching into your destiny. I hope you're marching to the computer to write your book. Yeah, I hope that you are marching to the studio to record your record or your song. I hope you are marching to the lab to create your perfumes and your products and all of those kinds of things. I hope you are marching on, marching on, marching, marching, marching. Yes, and so I am grateful that we have made it to March. Yeah. And so I decree and declare that, you know, all shall be well with you guys. I decree and declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper as you march into all that God has for you. I decree and declare that you are the head and not the tail, according to the word, that you are above and not beneath, that God shall provide all of your need according to his riches and glory as you walk in obedience. No good thing, the word says, will he withhold from those who walk upright before him. So march upright, my God. Hey, I felt that thing. March upright before God and watch him do some mighty works in you. Like I said, I did not really have anything in particular in mind, but this month is has been deemed Cerebral Palsy Awareness Month. And for those who are new here, welcome to Having a Moment with Moni. I am your host, author Monique Duell, and I have two sons. My youngest son, who is 22, has cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is a neurological disorder that affects motor functioning. It is a disorder of the brain, and it affects your motor functioning, your, you know, social emotional skills, your cognitive reasoning and functioning, and all of those kinds of things. It depends on what classification you are in as far as how severe the effects are. My son is what you call spastic diplegia, which means that his arms and legs and all of that stuff is very tight. They're like rubber bands. So if you try to pull his arm out, it'll just snatch back like a rubber band without surgical intervention and PT and OT and things of that nature. He is able to say, you know, words and phrases and things of that nature. But as far as a lot of detailed, you know, conversations and things like that, such as mommy, my head hurts, or mommy, my stomach hurts, he is not at that level to where he can identify that. He will say sick if he doesn't feel quite right. He will say hungry, or he will tell you what he wants to eat if he recognizes it. He will say he wants McDonald's or he wants water and all that sort of stuff. He can't walk. He can't get in and out of his chair. He still wears diapers. So that means, of course, that I have to change his diapers, bathe him, dress him, cut his hair, manscape, all of those things. Cerebral palsy is a complex condition. It is a complex medical condition. And so there are still some unknowns. Of course, there is more support for Down syndrome and autism and things like that out there. Cerebral palsy, we are still learning certain things and that are a domino effect as a result of having CP. There are other things that are, you know, that can happen as a result of the CP that isn't directly related to the CP, but it's a byproduct. And so he is not on a bunch of medicines and treatments and things like that. He outgrew the Botox shots. I am grateful to God that he no longer has seizures. He was having them when he was a baby. And I thank God that it's been more than 20 years since he's had one. So I thank and praise God for progress there. He is able to hold a spoon and things like that to feed himself, but he can't write or sign his name or use a computer or a remote control or a video game controller and things like that. So there are plenty of things that Jeremiah can do versus what he can't. And if you heard my show last week, we talked about allowing God to turn your can'ts to can. And so I'm grateful that daily I watch God turn Jeremiah's can'ts to can. And he is such a bright, bubbly young man. His smile will melt your heart. His smile is everything. He is quite the social butterfly like his mother. He loves to sing and praise and worship God. He loves God with his whole heart, y'all, and his whole being. He will go off into worship and answer his heavenly language and all of those kinds of things. So that lets me know that the Spirit is willing. Hey God, yeah, the spirit my God is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so even though his flesh has not responded to that part of the brain that controls his spirit, man is very much alive in Jesus. And so during this month I am purposely talking about our CP journey and things of that nature, because I believe that it is important for us as parents and caregivers to talk about the journey and what we've discovered, you know, the trial and error, all those kinds of things, you know. And I sat and reflected today on 22 years of CP with my son, and I had to admit that in the midst of learning about the disease, that most of my time, I believe that I spent more on trying to find out how I could combat the disease versus paying more attention to my son as a human being and, you know, cultivating the things that he could do and not just be zero laser focused on the numerous things that he could not do. As his mom and now guardian, I did whatever I could that was necessary for him. I will admit that I did not want to do a lot of these things that we've had to do. I am grateful for the school that he was in, because they loved him dearly. They made sure he got all of his services and things like that. He had PT and OT in school, and as he was growing up, his father and I divorced, and so I became a single mom while he was still very young, and I had to navigate all of this myself. I had to navigate through discovering what he qualified for and what he didn't, and equipment, because he had to have an adaptive chair, he had to have an adaptive bath chair, he had to have an adaptive wheelchair and a feeding chair and a car seat. And so it's been a journey to see him grow and you know, scoot across the floor for the first time. The only time he has walked is with the help of a gait trainer. And for those of you who don't know what a gait trainer is, a G-A-I-T trainer, it's a device that holds them up from their trunk around their waist, sort of, so to speak. And it, you know, locks them in, and he gets to hold on to the poles, and he gets to, they lower it down to the floor where his feet can touch the floor, and he could just trot on along. You know, it holds him up by, you know, like I said, his hips and, you know, lower back and spine to give him that support. And he could just trot across the floor and scoot and all that kind of stuff. And to see him do that for the first time, y'all, I can't tell y'all what that did for me, because it's like, you know, Yeah, it did hurt that my son was not mobile on his own, but I was excited to know that there was a device that could help him be as mobile as he could and help him feel that he was doing something for himself. And the joy on his face as he would step across the floor and stuff like that was just, you know, I will never forget that. When he was smaller and weighed less, he could crawl across the floor. He would scoot across the floor after his brother, his older brother, and everything. Him and Ronald would play and all that kind of stuff. He would try to wrestle his brother and everything and just, you know, all of those kinds of things. But the bigger he got and his spine began to curve, he couldn't do those things anymore. But the things that he could do, he still did with his big brother. He still did, even to this day. When he sees his brother, his whole world lights up and he loves his brother. He sees him and try to kiss him and hold his hand and all those kinds of things. So even though if I put him on the floor, he'll just kind of be in one space and try to scoot himself closer to either myself or his brother. There's still plenty of things that Jeremiah is capable of doing despite the spasticity and the curvature that he did have on his spine, which was scoliosis. He had to go under the knife for. But what we don't talk about as parents and caregivers is all of the other adjustments and sacrifices that have to be made. And I don't know if it's because we are angry, you know, that we've had to do these things, or is it coupled with, you know, shame and disappointment at ourselves, you know, and at God and things like that. I'm going to speak for myself because I can't speak for everybody else, but we have to make adjustments for everything. Let's start with traveling. For instance, he has to be in his wheelchair because he can't sit up straight or has proper posture. That's part of the CP. He can't do that. So we have to be in an accessible vehicle. He has to be in his wheelchair, and the places we go have to be accessible, or we'll still be in the car or at home. When he goes to doctor's appointments, depending on which ones they are, he literally has to get put to sleep. He has to be under anesthesia to get his eyes checked to make sure his retinas don't detach from his eyes because he's very nearsighted. I am talking about cerebral palsy awareness in this episode. So some of these things you may have heard before on a former show, but I'm talking about them again because for the new people who were not here, so that you will know what cerebral palsy is. We call it CP for short. He has to get, you know, put to sleep. If he gets his teeth cleaned and he has extra teeth, most kids with disabilities, whether they're cerebral palsy or not, some of them have more teeth in their mouth than they should. He has to get put to sleep because he's not just going to lay there and let you mess with his mouth. He does not like it. He never liked it. He don't like you messing with his eyes. He never liked it. He doesn't like eye drops. He don't like you to clean his ears. He has certain non-negotiables, and those are it. While he has not been combative or swung at nobody for doing it, you can definitely tell his disdain when you try. So, you know, when we make his food, we have to make sure that it's not too hot because he's not going to sit there and blow it. If you put the plate in front of Jeremiah, he's going to town. And if he realizes that it's hot, he may drop it for a second, but he's going to go right back and pick it up because Jeremiah is a healthy eater. He has to, you know, have his food cut up if the protein is too thick, you know, and things like that. We have to cut it up for him and stuff. He's a healthy eater. Only thing Jeremiah doesn't eat is watermelon. And he doesn't like milkshakes. He loves ice. He loves chocolate. And I, you know, he loves chocolate. And his favorite is cookies and macaroni and cheese. He pretty much sleeps through the night, most of the time. There are times where Jeremiah would get up between 2 and 5 in the morning and sing his heart out and say the same word or phrase over and over again until he gets tired. Not because you say, Maya, shh, it's 3 a.m. This is why we cannot live in an apartment, because imagine you sleep and you hear somebody screaming to the top of their lungs. They're not screaming because they're in danger, but they're screaming and yelling because they're giggling and laughing and singing and all of those kinds of things. Jeremiah is very repetitive all day long. he, from the time he gets out of bed, have his lunch and things like that, once he finished eating, all day long, he's saying mommy. And after that, whatever it is that's in his little mind or in his spirit, that's exactly what he's going to say. And no matter how much I try to get him to deviate from that, he's not going to. He'll still, like today, I'll give you an example. He kept saying, mommy, Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. I said, Jeremiah, Black History is over. This is March. And he kept saying, mommy, Black History. He knows when he's doing something on purpose to irritate me, because he'll start to whisper it or he'll mumble it under his breath. And I say, Jeremiah, he'll say, mommy, Black History Month. So even though, you know, a lot of the other things are going on, you know, in his body and things like that, he has grown quite a bit. He can tell, you know, by my body language, or if I say, Jeremiah, shh. And things like that. And it depends on what it is. And let me tell y'all, he has an attitude. Oh, yeah. When he does not get his way, or, you know, you trying to get him to calm down because he gets riled up sometimes. Once he get an attitude, he will ball his fists up. And if you're near him, he will swing at you. And if you're not near him, he will swing and hit himself in the face. And that is what scares me. Because he is strong. If you all have dealt with people who are differently able, they are some strong creatures. They got brute strength from the Lord, because once they get mad or combative, watch out. And so because I worked with kids in the school system that were able-bodied, when they got mad, I would have to lock them around my arm. We learn how to safely restrain, because they get quite strong. So cerebral palsy is one of those things that, you know, you gotta just go with it, because it goes from one level to the other based on their own growth and development and things like that. When he was born bleeding on the brain. He had an IVH grade 1, and as you all know, your brain is like tissue. So, of course, if you're bleeding on the brain, it's like wet tissue, right? So it could have been worse. There are some kids who were bleeding on the brain so severely that all they can do is make noise and look around the room and things like that. So I dare not complain. And so spasticity in children is a condition that causes increased muscle stiffness and involuntary muscle spasms. So he has muscle spasms at times. He feels like he's going to fall. And so when he's sitting sometimes and he feels like he's going to fall, he will grab at the first thing that he can grasp to try to hold himself up, even though he can't hold himself up because of the CP. So he will try to hold on to something for balance purposes. Okay, they can have problems swallowing, breathing, or speaking because of cerebral palsy. This is what I mean about the other effects and things like that that come along with cerebral palsy. Luckily, or should I say, I'm grateful that my son has a healthy immune system. He has not had to, you know, be hospitalized and tubed and cathetered and all of those kinds of things. But, you know, those things cross your mind the older that they get, because if he's not voiding properly, then guess what has to happen? He will have to be cathetered. And y'all know what that is. I don't have to tell y'all what that is. And so now that he's 22, things have shifted monumentally, because he's not a baby anymore. And they call it, you know, when they get older, they call it dystonia. Some adults have dystonia and some have dysport, which, you know, is a part of the spasticity and things like that. And for him, he has not had to deal with cervical dystonia. And I'm grateful for that, because that's one more set of doctors, you know, he has to see, you know, another set of specialists and all of those kinds of things. And so this is a very complex disorder. It's very complex. Like I said, it starts one way and it can go, you know, it can show up in many different forms. It's a group of disorders. CP is not just CP and that's it. It's a group of disorders that affects a person's ability to move and maintain balance and posture. Okay. And so when Jeremiah was very young, because he was born a little over 2 pounds, he was not hitting his milestones. He wasn't. He just wasn't. They would dangle stuff in front of him. He would not, you know, grab or grasp for the toys. He would not follow, you know, the doctor with his eyes and all of that kind of stuff. He did what he wanted to do when he felt like it, and he still does. And the average lifespan of an individual with cerebral palsy is between 30 and 70 years old. Between 30 and 70 years old, y'all. Whew, that is a long time of medical care and, you know, adjustments and things of that nature. And so cerebral palsy is one of those things that is not hereditary. That's what the doctor said. It's not hereditary. It is a problem that affects the development of a baby's brain while it's growing in the womb. It is damage to the part of the brain called the white matter, possibly as a result of a reduced blood or oxygen supply, which is better known as PVL. Periventricular, I can't pronounce that L word, leukomalacia. So to put this all in context, y'all, when I got pregnant with Jeremiah, my first initial checkup was great. Everything was fine and all of that sort of stuff. Nothing was wrong. You know, I was in the early stages, you know, first trimester, things like that. Third month come and I started just cramping and things like that. I'm thinking, hey, okay, I'm going to be one of those females that have their cycle while they're pregnant. This is going to be misery. And I started to bleed. I didn't think anything of it. I thought that this was normal. It wasn't until I started bleeding profusely. And I talk about this in my book, Handicapped Mom, Lessons I Learned Through Cerebral Palsy, which is on Amazon. In Handicapped Mom, Lessons I Learned Through Cerebral Palsy, I talk about this because I was staying at my mom's and I was taking care of my siblings. Then my mom had had her first medical emergency. I believe it was a stroke, if I'm not mistaken. And I was sleeping on the couch and I jumped up to wake up because I thought that I missed, you know, that I had wet myself because I didn't get up in time to go to the bathroom because I was sleeping so good. I was spending my time between my mom's house with my siblings and my then husband. We were newlyweds. My son's father and I were newlyweds when this occurred. And, I woke up and I'm like, did I go to the bathroom with myself? Y'all, I get up and I see red and I'm just like, oh my God. And it was like, what is going on? And I don't know if my mom ended up calling me coincidentally or I called her and said, Mom, I'm having my period, having my period. She's like, no. She's like, are you in pain? I'm like, yes, I'm cramping really bad. She's like, no, call the ambulance right now. There, you know, you may be having a miscarriage. And so me, I'm terrified, y'all, at this point. I am terrified. I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting ready to lose, you know, I could be possibly losing my baby. You know, I could possibly be losing my baby. I'm a newlywed. I got a 2-year-old son already. No, this is too much. My mother is, you know, sick and recovering. This is too much. And, so they said I had a condition called placenta previa, where I had when I say hairpin tear, y'all, only way you could see this is if you had one of them high powered microscopes. That's how thin this tear was, yet it caused all this bleeding and all of these issues. Now, how the tear got there, no one knows. It's not because I did anything strenuous or whatever. My placenta just decided to tear from the wall. The great news was that my blood did not mix with his, because had it did that, he would have died and I could have possibly died as well. So, needless to say, I was placed on immediate bed rest where I continued to bleed heavily. And I could tell when I was more stressed out than others, because I would bleed much more than that. And I bled from the third month until I had him at 27 weeks, which is 1 week shy of 7 months, plus 6 weeks after that. He was a little over 2 pounds, had to be intubated, tube fed. He was jaundiced, so he had the things on his eyes so he couldn't see anybody. He was a teensy, y'all. He was so small, you could hold him in the palm of your hand. And just when I thought my baby was small, I could not complain, because there was a baby across from him, a little girl. She was 11 ounces. I don't know how. My God, what a miracle. This is why you have to keep your focus on God, because just when you think you're going through something, somebody else's situation makes yours seem not so bad at all. And so, he stayed in hospital for about 3 months or so, spent Christmas, Thanksgiving there, took a picture with Santa Claus and all that good stuff, came home with a round of medicines that we had to reassign so that we all could get some sleep. Because of course at the hospital, they gave him medicine and did all that like clockwork. At home, we couldn't do that. We had to sleep. So time, this is how the early journey was. He had oxygen. He had these electrodes on him. If he breathed the wrong way, the bells would go off. Or if he pulled at them or kicked them off by accident, which he did a lot, they would go off. So we still had sleepless nights, because every time we would beep, 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 you know, and stuff like that. And so, fast forward, let me back up a tad. Before he came home from the hospital, he had a medical emergency, y'all, and I was there. It's in the book. He literally stopped breathing and had to be resuscitated. And I was there. I was on the other side of the room pumping breast milk, because, you know, that they say, hey, mom, you know, you pump breast milk, that helps with his immune system, blah, 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 help him gain the weight so he could come home early. So I was pumping like a cow. Okay. And I was fascinated at the same time. I am sitting there pumping and rocking and looking at the TV, and I hear them go, bing, boom, cold blue, I see you, bing, boom. Cold blue, I see you. I'm thinking, oh my Jesus. And I'm over there praying, y'all. I am praying. I am praying for whoever this child is, y'all. Only to discover when I walked across the room with the breast milk I had pumped that it was my son. They are bagging and pumping and bagging and pumping. I'm screaming, trying not to, you know, screaming and crying and all of that. They're trying to get me to calm down so I wouldn't upset the other babies and such and so forth. Needless to say, God is so faithful and so awesome, because when they got to the point where they felt like they had been pumping too long and they would get ready to call it, okay, y'all know what that mean. They said time of death. I'm like, huh? No. I was like, I know you not. They looking at me. I'm looking at them. They looking at me. I'm looking at them. My son was blue, purple, and all kinds of colors. And they just pumping, pumping, pumping. And I'm like, dear Jesus, please, Father. And I'm praying, y'all. I'm saying all kinds of prayers, probably in several languages. Because just before I had him in October of 2000, my maternal grandmother passed away a couple months before that from a sudden brain aneurysm. So y'all already know where I was at in my mindset at that point. But I had to focus, because I did not want to lose my son. I didn't want to lose him, y'all. I mean, it was already traumatic that I went into preterm labor to the point where they couldn't stop it and they had to hurry up and take him out before we both died. It was traumatic enough, you know, flashing back to the moment where I lost my grandmother and all that sort of thing. But I'm sitting here praying for my son, and I'm like, God, I don't want to say let your will be done, Lord, because that's, if that means he has to die, that's not what I want. And I'm bargaining with God, y'all, and I'm pleading with God, like, whatever we need to do, Lord, Jesus, help us, God. And they would get ready to call it. They was ready to say time of death. The flatline was on the screen. I mean, that thing echoed in my soul, y'all. I will never forget it. Never. It's not like when you see it on TV. Never. They would get ready to turn the machine off because it was too loud. And as they turned it down to turn the machine off, and it got to the lowest decibel to where a human could hear it, all of a sudden, beep, beep, beep. God, y'all, performs miracles. Don't tell me that he don't. You can't tell me that he don't. My son is 22 years old today. You can't tell me that he don't. Was it hard? Yes. Was it an adjustment? Yes. Did I cry a lot? Yes. Did I pray a lot? Yes. Did we go through some things? Yes. And still do. I love my sons dearly. And I am grateful to God for giving me the grace to be able to handle what I have had to handle with my son. And the most disheartening part of this whole situation is, even after going through all of that and having to, you know, be a single mom and things like that, what hurts the most for me is the fact that his father is not involved in his life at all. He has not willingly taken the time to get to know his own son. He doesn't know anything about him except his name and the fact that he has CP. He don't even know his own son's social security number. Okay. Imagine your child's father coming to pick him up, and you got to pretty much debrief him on his own son. Imagine getting phone calls the one time he did, you know, come to spend time with him or take him for a week, calling every 5 or 10 minutes. What time does he go to bed? What time does he get up in the morning? What does he like to eat? What shouldn't I feed him? What TV shows does he like? I mean, y'all. Come on. And I had to go to God about this evening, because I said, God, I feel so horrible because of the person that I picked, who now does not even acknowledge his own son who has a disability while being engaged to a female who has a daughter with a disability. Did y'all hear what I said? I had to surrender that pain to God, y'all, because I felt so bad for my son that my son does not have, my youngest son anyway, does not have a relationship with his own father in any capacity. He does not call. He does not come see him. He doesn't call on his birthday. He doesn't call on Christmas. He don't buy clothes. He don't buy groceries. He don't come and get him and take him on outings. He does none of that. And so I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound, you know, unpopular, but I am grateful that my son possibly cannot articulate or understand, or maybe he does, but I'm so grateful that he does not show signs of depression or anxiety, because he knows who his father is, and he knows that his father is not present. Okay, as much as our son has had to endure from 2 pounds to 22 years old, you mean to tell me that you can just go on with your life without a care in the world and go to bed and go to sleep at night and go and live your best life like you do not have a child that is helpless, that is basically an invalid? Okay. So, you know, aside from that, okay, Jeremiah has gone through significant improvements and things like that with his muscle tone, his posture, and his developmental delays. He didn't reach milestones, as I told you earlier. He didn't roll over by this age or start crawling by this age or start, you know, babbling and talking by a certain age or whatever. He did it when his mind was ready or when his body was ready. Cerebral palsy is what you call a chronic condition. It is chronic with no expectation of improvement, or as they call it, no expectation of remedy, meaning that our kids with cerebral palsy and Down syndrome or autism, they believe that they will be like this for the rest of their life, medically speaking, that is. But how many of y'all know who's listening to me under the sound of my voice that God does miracles? I still believe God, and I said this last week. I still believe God. I believe that one day Jeremiah's going to be sitting up on the bed. He's going to walk up the steps and say, "Good morning, mommy," and all of that. And that's what I hold on to. I am now at the point where I am able to be brutally honest with God and go to God about my feelings and emotions, because I can't change the fact that his father does not want him. It burns my soul, y'all. It burns my soul. You know why? Because I know what this feels like, having been raised by my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, not having, you know, having both parents in the same household and things like that, having to go to one and then go to the other and all those sorts of things. And I didn't want my kids to go through that. Needless to say, that's exactly what happened. But God is so merciful and faithful because he surrounded us with love and care and those who would pour into us to keep us from falling into the cracks and the crevices of a place of mental instability and anger and all of those kinds of things, and bitterness and rage and stuff. Yes, I felt that way in the beginning. I felt that way, like, God, why didn't you just stop all this? Why didn't you just pump the brakes on that and all of that? I know we have free will and all that, but God, where were you? Why this? Why now? And I know I'm not the only one. Listen, y'all, when I pray for my kid and I pray for my sons and things like that, I'm not just praying for my sons that got my son that has cerebral palsy or my brother who has autism. I'm praying for all of the special needs parents and things like that, because I don't want us to feel the way we feel. I want us to see life as a beautiful gift that God has given us. And even though we have to go through things that seem insurmountable, and I'm here to tell y'all, it is heavy. To whom much is given, much is required. Cerebral palsy is much given, and so much is required. Okay? Life is much given, and so much is required. I need y'all to understand something, that even in the midst of this, this is why I'm telling this testimony. Even in the midst of this, God met us at every turn. There was never a time where we did not have what we needed, even though God had to make the adjustments for us. We had to make the adjustments. Yes, we were in a shelter. Yes, we did not have a home of our own to live in and all of that, but God provided. We weren't out on the street. We were not out in the cold. We never went hungry, even when we didn't have food in the cabinets. And I testified about that quite a few shows back. God sent a neighbor to provide for us. This is what I'm saying. Listen, if you go down the road of this thing called life, there are going to be some bumps in the road, some detours, some do not enters, some closed roads and some more stuff. You have to learn how to navigate it with God. That is the only way you're going to make it out here. This is the only way. I could not have made it through 22 years with cerebral palsy had I not been saved. I would have died a long time ago because I wanted to. And I would have taken my kids with me because I was not going to leave them here to go through this madness. Okay? Especially with the father that they have. My oldest son has a relationship with his father that he is pleased with. Why should I be angry and bitter because he does not want to have a relationship with Jeremiah? Yes, it hurts, but I am not going to waste my energy on that. I am not going to waste my energy on what Jeremiah does not have. I am going to cultivate what he does have. And this is the word for somebody here. Stop focusing on what you don't have and focus on what you do have and be grateful unto God and allow him to give you the rest and make up the difference. I know it's not, listen, I was not raised by my parents, both of them in the same household. So I know what it's like to long and have that void. But can I tell you that God fills the voids? I felt so inadequate caring for Jeremiah with CP. I did not want to, y'all. I wanted to go sign the papers and let somebody else take care of him who could give him what he wanted or needed because I felt like I could not. I was done. Between the pregnancy, the divorce, my mother having a stroke, losing my grandmother and stuff like that, all of that was too much. But God, everybody has a but God story. I don't care if you have a relationship with him or not. If you admit to yourself, you have a but God, but God, but God. God carried me through. He carried me through mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I had to tap out, y'all. I tapped out because I was tapped out. Did you hear what I said? I tapped out because I was tapped out. Because I was trying to do all of this in my own strength, like I didn't need anybody and things like that. Because of the trauma and all of those things that I went through during the marriage, y'all have to read the book. Okay, so as we, you know, we, I won't say celebrate, I don't want to use that word, but March is cerebral palsy awareness. I want to bring awareness to what life is really like for us. Every day is a new challenge or a new adventure. My typical day goes like this. Jeremiah is probably up 2-3 in the morning like now. He's probably up singing or something like that. If you hear somebody hollering, that's him. I will go downstairs and check on him and things like that to make sure he's still dry and he hasn't, you know, got into his clothes because he realizes that he has a body part, y'all. So that goes without saying. Amen. And then I'll finally go to sleep, get up, go downstairs, bathe him in the mornings, you know, change his diaper and stuff like that, get him dressed, lift him out of the bed, get him in his chair, fix his food and things like that, get him settled so then I can go make phone calls or appointments and answer emails, continue to work on, you know, the books or the podcasts and things like that. And then, you know, make sure he has his snacks throughout the day and make sure he stays dry and all that kind of stuff. Watch his verbal cues. Make sure that there's, you know, that he's, you know, feeling good and there's nothing else going on and things like that. Hey, rinse and repeat. Go to bed, you know, rinse and repeat. Wake up, you know, that sort of thing. Do laundry, cook his dinner, wash dishes, then get him bathed or whatever, get him in the bed. And maybe it's Bible study night. So I'm on a Bible study or something like that. Or I'm on the Zoom call, in a prayer group or support group or something like that. Cause I got to stay full, y'all. I can't pour from an empty cup. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that it doesn't hurt that my son has cerebral palsy. It hurts 22 years later. Yes, it does. But God is faithful. So listen, be aware of what you say to special needs parents and loved ones. Be aware of your comments and your attempts to soothe us, your attempts to encourage us and stuff like that. Be mindful of what you say, because a lot of the things that you guys say is not helpful. And you think that it is. And we don't believe that you do it on purpose or ill intent, but just be mindful, y'all. We don't need pity because we already feel that enough. We need joy and positivity and you know, and energy. We need y'all to just sit and listen to us without, you know, trying to pick apart. Why is it that, you know, this person's not doing this or that person's not doing that? What am I doing? You know, and stuff like that. Yes, we welcome resources and things like that, but we don't want to be bombarded with your suggestions and your feedback. We would rather you say, hey, is there anything I can do for you at this moment? Because trust me when I tell you, most of the time, we've already heard all of the stuff that you guys are going to tell us. And I could count on my hand, on my one hand, how many times somebody have told me something that I did not know. We're constantly researching, and I'm saying we because I'm speaking for all of the special needs parents. We're constantly on our phones researching services and supports and things like that. We fill out so much paperwork, we probably could do it with our eyes closed in several languages. So we are, our plates are already full. We need that emotional support. We need your prayers. And not the oh Lord bless them again or what. No, not that. We need deliberate intercession. Because the enemy is always trying to take us down the rabbit hole of guilt and shame and depression. Because we've had children that are not what we call normal. So, of course, it's always in the back of our minds that we are at fault somehow, some way. I don't know if it were the case that we would feel any better. I don't know. But I refuse to go around in those circles. So when you see children in wheelchairs and things like that and have spasticity issues and things like that, you know, just be mindful of your questions and things like that. If they hooked up to all of these things and stuff like that, chances are they can't walk. You see us with a diaper bag and all this kind of stuff, chances are they can't walk or do none of the things that you think that they can do and things like that. Say hi, how are you? How was your day and things like that? Don't try to interview us and ask, you know, too many personal questions because that triggers us. You know why? Because with all of this technology and things that we have out here, there's no reason for that. There's no reason not to know certain things about certain things. We have a range of disabilities out here and differently abled and all that sort of thing. I know the people think they know what cerebral palsy is, but they don't. One of my best friends literally didn't know what cerebral palsy was, and I had to explain it. He was like, I just thought that it just meant he couldn't walk. You know, so there are times that, yes, we will explain and things like that. But at the height of our day and we are in the hustle and bustle, we don't know. We don't want that. We don't want that. And if you're going to come to us, can you start off with, hey, do you mind me asking you some questions? I don't mean to be rude. Don't come. Well, what can he do? Why is he like that? Don't do that because you fitting to get slapped. That's what's going to happen. If you catch us on the wrong day, I'm serious, because our mom brain is constantly going like 295. We're constantly thinking of something that we should have done, that we probably didn't, that we could be doing, that we not going to do, and celebrating our wins and crying over the things that we not going to accomplish because it ain't possible. So we are already a ball of emotions. Okay, so thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Having a Moment with Moni here on the Hard Radio Network. Y'all keep us in prayer. Pray for me, Jeremiah, Ronald, as I continue to pray for you guys. Thank you for your love and support and all of those kinds of things. I would love to hear from you guys. I am all over social media, Facebook, Monique Duell, Duell, Instagram, Miss Deereign, Miss D Rain, TikTok, Monique Duell, Wisdom App, Monique Duell, Clubhouse, Monique Duell, and YouTube page, Monique Duell, with it has most of the stuff. Well, no, not really. Some of the things that I have done on there, that's on my platform. I'm sorry, y'all. Mom brain. A lot of the other appearances and things like that, if you want to see all of my interviews and all of those kinds of things, y'all head on over to my link tree. That's link linktr.ee/Monique Duell. There you can fill out the form if you're interested in booking me, y'all. My calendar is continuing to fill up for different events and things like that. I do conferences, seminars, I do vending, all kinds of things, y'all. And if you have not read any of my books, y'all head on over to Amazon to find Grief is a Gangster, which is my my grief book, y'all. It is a phenomenal book. You would definitely want to read that if you are stuck somewhere in your grief journey and still going in circles a little bit emotionally. It just gives you a few little nuggets on how to break that cycle. Jeremiah the Jackrabbit, my children's book, where I turn my son into a superhero. It is so cute, y'all. And the bunny rabbit that goes with it is just the cutest little thing. One of my girlfriends crocheted one. And so if you see it, you see the bunny on the front of the book. That's exactly how the little bunny rabbit looks that she crocheted for me. And so coming in a few days, y'all, caregiver CPR is coming. Yeah, I talk about how to prevent caregiver burnout, notice the warning signs, and what can you do to maintain a healthy mental balance in the midst of caring for your loved one. I don't care what kind of different ability they have. Caregiver CPR is the book for you. So y'all look out for that. It will be published through Ingram Spark, and it will be out in a few days. So keep a lookout. If you follow me on any of my social media pages, you will see it because I will drop it. Amen. And so we love you. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, God, for this gathering, Lord. We thank you for having a moment with Moni Radio Show and podcast, Father. We thank you for High Radio Network. We thank you that somebody, Father, will be encouraged, oh God. They will be challenged. They will be changed, Father. And if they don't know you in the pardon of their sins, Father, I pray that you save someone's soul, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you are the Christ and that you died for their sins and that you was buried and rose on the third day, Father, that they will give you another chance, Father, in the midst of their pain and calamity, Father. Forgive us for any sin we may have committed. Renew within us a clean heart and a right spirit. Help us to do your will for our lives, oh God. And we thank you, Father. I speak strength to everybody under the sound of my voice, Lord God, not just the special needs parents and caregivers, but to everybody, Father, who listens to me for encouragement, Father, for wisdom and strength, Father. Thank you for using me for your glory. I appreciate you, Lord. I appreciate you, Holy Spirit, for being in the midst of us. I give you glory, honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I love you guys. I will see you next week, and I'm gone.